Ollie Hilton here for Y01 Radio. Who am I joined by?
Henry Calvert.
Henry Calvert.
Oh, yes.
Good to be here with you. How was the journey down?
It was all right. I live in Thirsk, but I come into York basically every other day to buy my comic books.
So, which shop do you use?
Travelling Man.
Oh, right.
Travelling
okay.
Man. I live in Travelling Man. I was there last night playing a few board games and the new Disney trading card game.
Whereabouts is that in town?
That is... In fact, it is just up from your Live Lounge studio.
Thought so.
Up from there.
Cheers for the plug.
Of course. And near the York Rose Company as well.
Nice.
I can't remember the name of the street, but I spend a lot of time there. Yes.
Yeah, nice. I've seen they've opened a new one on Ouse Bridge, I believe.
Oh, really?
Opened up a new like retro comic shop. You should definitely check that out.
Yes, no, I will have to.
Yeah, next to the little Tesco on that
bridge.
Yeah, check it out for sure. I lived down there last year. It's really, really cool. So introduce yourself, please do.
Sure. I'm Henry Calvert. I tend to refer to myself as a professional geek, but I guess I gained that credential by being a content creator, mainly on TikTok, specializing in kind of the nerdy, geeky stuff, whether that be movies, gaming, TV, TV shows, comic books. And I do skits on there, kind of personality-based content as well, just kind of me and my daily life. And it's led to a kind of a full career, I guess, out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. A bit of rapping as well.
My greatest creation, the Geek Rap. Thanks, Ollie.
It's unbelievable, the Geek Rap. You've got to check it out if you haven't already. We'll get out of the way. What's your TikTok handle, just first
my,
of all?
TikTok
or
is
socials,
Henry_Calvert, and my Instagram is Henry.Calvert.
Cool.
If you look up Henry Calvert, it'll come up with me. Or my family's carpet shop. So yeah. either way, we're all right.
Good stuff. So you grew up in Thirsk, did you?
So I grew up in Thirsk. All my family's from Thirsk. But I went to sixth form in York. I went to Bootham.
Right.
And then I had a couple of years out after sixth form, and I actually went back to Bootham, and I taught kind of all of the performing arts stuff.
Oh, cool.
There. My entire life has been Thirsk, York area.
Nice. Yeah. What's your favourite part of North Yorkshire and why?
I like Rydale.
Yeah.
Rydale is just very scenic.
It's very
peaceful. You don't get too many. It's not too crowded, I don't feel. It's beautiful up there. So probably I'd say Rydale, Helmsley area.
Not Travelling Man.
No Travelling Man there though. No, I know. They've only...
It must be very good if it doesn't have a travelling man, but it's still the number one place in North Yorkshire.
Absolutely, yeah. No, they do good ice creams and nice, cute little cafes.
Nice.
And if there's one thing that can beat a comic book shop, it's a cute little cafe.
fair enough. So obviously, I feel hesitant to kind of plug your ego too much, but you've been really successful on TikTok, it's fair to say. Nearly 400,000 followers, is it?
I'm on 380 odd K on TikTok now.
Congrats, by the way.
Thank you. No, it's kind of came out of nowhere, and I've been doing it for like a year solidly as a career, but I did it for a year before then just doing comic book recommendations. So like I've been doing it for a year solidly, and it's been a wild old ride.
It certainly has. It's been amazing to see. As I say, I've followed you for quite a long time, I think. So could you tell us a little bit more about why you started TikTok and what the journey's been like? So you started, you know, making content in your room. You've been to movie premieres since then, haven't you?
Yeah. No, so I started making, like I say, comic book recommendations in 2021, I want to say. I went through kind of like a rough breakup. It was in COVID. I was like, I literally have nothing here. I have nothing going for me. I was on a year out. I didn't get into drama school. I was like, right, what am I going to do? And I was reading a lot of comic books, and I thought, right, I'm just going to do comic book recommendation videos. I did that for a year straight, and I gained an audience of about maybe like 15K, 10 to 15K. And then in March last year, I went viral on a video of me getting ready for a night out. And that kind of changed my life overnight. I then went and recorded filmed a reality show in April last year, came back from that, and it was like, right, I was in Milan with Disney, I was in LA with Disney, and it just kind of skyrocketed from there, and now I'm up and down to London like a madman for movie events. And
is it the train you use getting up and down to London?
Yeah,
it's a nightmare, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm at this point, when I'm up and down to London, I'm tempted to drive it, and that is not much better, but it's coming close at this point.
The cancellations and the cost as well is just awful.
Do you have one of those 16 to 25 rail cards?
I do, but it don't make much difference. It doesn't make much difference at all. I'm dropping like 80 quid a go on a train ticket.
It's awful, isn't it? Yeah. It is absolutely awful. So you make content that's centered on, I mean, quote-unquote geeky stuff. So... Mm. How long have you been interested in the stuff like Marvel, Star Wars, things that you talk about like that?
Oh, I mean, for as long as I can really remember. Like, one of my earliest memories is kind of sat in my living room on my dad's knee watching Star Wars, you know, the trench run, and he'd be like, I'd pretend I was in the cockpit of the X-Wing. My uncle introduced me to kind of the 80s Transformers animated series and Thundercats and kind of all of that old school stuff from such a young age, and I've just kind of been indoctrinated into it. And then with kind of the rise of the MCU, it's just kind of blown completely up. And yeah, it's always been a kind of integral part of who I am.
Yeah, so I'm going to actually say something now which might make you not like me very much.
Okay.
I know, I'm quite scared. I'm feeling very intimidating in this tiny little booth. So I've only watched a couple of Marvel films, and I've never seen Star Wars.
Oh, my God. You've got so much to look forward to then.
So I've played a bit of Lego. I've played quite a lot of Lego Star Wars on the Wii. Did you ever do that?
Iconic game.
Yeah, it's so good, isn't
it? The complete saga and Lego Star Wars 3, The Clone Wars. Yeah. They're just brilliant
games. I was quite big on that, and I get the appeal for sure, but I would like you to try and get me into Star Wars and Marvel now, because I'm not. I've seen Spider-Man, the first few Spider-Man films, and I've seen Avengers Endgame.
Well, yeah,
but Mr. that is Mr. literally Fair it. Jump. Yeah, no, I've jumped quite forwards there, haven't I?
You've seen the start and the end.
Yeah, well,
I think Marvel's the harder sell because there's something ridiculous, like 30-odd films and like 6-odd series, and most of it. Don't tell Disney I said this. Kind of boring,
right?
But Star Wars, the original trilogy of Star Wars, is probably the most iconic series of all time, trilogy of all time. It's up there with Lord of the Rings. It has heart. It has action scenes that can never be topped. The effects from like the late 70s are so timeless. The score is phenomenal. Like,
I do like the score.
Yeah, even if you haven't seen Star Wars, the score, you know it. And the feeling that evokes is second to none. Seeing kind of Luke's journey in the original trilogy, and it's just phenomenal. And it has Carrie Fisher.
Right.
So
I believe with Star Wars, please do correct me if I'm wrong. Is there a specific... I don't think you're supposed to watch it from 1 to...
No. Anybody who tells you to watch it 1 to 9 is incorrect. the way to watch Star Wars is release order. Always release order. So that's 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, 7, 8, 9. And then Rogue One and Solo are somewhere in there. I think
I saw Rogue One in the cinema.
Yeah, Rogue One's great. Rogue One's really good, and you could kind of watch it as a standalone.
I think I did. I don't think. I won't have seen any of them. I think I saw Rogue One in the cinema.
Yeah. But if you are going to do Star Wars, release order's the way to go. There's a reason why George released them in that way.
George.
George. Oh, yeah. First name basis.
Yeah, first name basis. Yeah, yeah, the time. Let's talk about musicals, Henry.
Oh,
let's do it.
Let's do it.
I've wanted to do this for a while. Favourite musical, first off?
Favourite musical, are we talking stage or screen?
Stage.
Stage. My favourite stage musical is Hamilton.
Actually, give me both. Give me screen as well.
Okay. Favourite stage musical is Hamilton. Favourite screen musical at the minute is La La Land.
That's so valid. Yeah.
But, I mean, it changes like every day. If I've watched Seven Brides, Seven Brothers recently, it'll be Seven Brides. If I've seen Singing in the Rain, it'll be Singing in the Rain. I think I have a pretty kind of... I'm not just a new school musical fan. I like the old
stuff
as well.
I've got another thing. I'm quite scared to start telling you this now. I you might know what's coming. I'm a big musical theatre guy. Don't really like Hamilton.
Really? I kind of get it. Because
I think it's really good,
yeah,
but I think it's overrated.
Okay.
Are you going to... You've got so much to say, okay. Come on.
No, I think the thing is with Hamilton, I can understand why it's an acquired taste for, like, classical musical theatre fans that love, like, an old, like, a classic musical.
Yeah.
Hamilton is not a classic musical. Like, the rapping and...
I love the rapping.
Oh, really?
It's not that I love the rapping. I think it's a great concept. Yeah. I think the thing is with it, for me, is that it's very long. And I think there's a lot of dips in it. I think it's...
Yeah, I think the first act on its own is brilliant. And then you get to the second act and it's a bit slower. There's not as many kind of iconic songs like Wait For It or Satisfied or My Shot. It is a bit harder to get through. But that first act. That first act. Yeah. Oh my God.
I've seen it a few times. Yeah. I mean, doing a theatre course. I mean, course part. Instead, we tend to just whack Hamilton on. Sit back and relax. Yeah. Favorite song in a musical.
Oh, favorite song in a musical. I currently love So Much Better from Legally Blonde.
That's really obscure.
If I was a woman. Yeah. I would want to play. In fact, you know what? No, I want
octave,
to
man.
Play Elle Woods desperately, purely for that song. I think it's brilliant. It's So Much Better. I'll say that at the minute.
Fair enough. I'm a massive Les Mis guy.
Okay,
myself,
which
is, I don't know. Obviously, a very classical musical.
Yes.
So I when I was in Les Mis, it's been the best musical I've been in.
Who were you, Leonard?
I was Javert.
Oh, in Les Mis, ace!
And
yeah.
it was great fun, I have to say. Yeah. But I mean, for me, I think there's shows for me that. In fact, I'll throw this to you before I come on to me. Dream Role.
Dream Role. Oh God. Elwood. Javert would be up there. But
I'm telling you, Stars is just the best.
It's phenomenal.
It's amazing.
Brilliant
it's amazing.
Song. I guess Dream Role for me would probably have to be. My mind's gone completely blank.
What's been the best role you've
I know. Go on. Fiyero in Wicked. I'd like to be, mainly so I could be in Wicked. And the guy who is Fiyero at the minute in Wicked is not very good. I would like that chance, please, Stephen Schwartz.
What's been the favourite role you've played?
I think it would have to be... I did Joseph a few years ago, and
cool,
just being
cool.
A brother in Joseph might be the most fun role.
Joseph's got a cracking musical, isn't it?
It's just such a... I don't really like Andrew Lloyd Webber musicals that much, but Joseph is just pure, unfiltered fun.
It's joy, isn't it? It's amazing.
Phenomenal show. I think that's probably the role that I've had the most fun with.
Yeah.
That or Corny Collins in Hairspray.
You were Corny Collins in
Hairspray? Yeah, I did that in Upper Sixth, and I was like, I think this is the role I was born to play.
I was Corny Collins in Hairspray, but the show got cancelled because of COVID.
I did mine 2 weeks before.
We did Les Mis 2 weeks before,
right,
and then I was Corny Collins, but that one got cancelled. It was so, so difficult.
That is gutter. Okay.
We're back again. We had to move your car, didn't we?
We had to move the car,
parking,
unfortunately.
The parking at the studios is very, very tricky. I wanted to move on anyway, though, before, because I would get massively sidetracked about... We can come back to musicals, and I expect we will.
Probably.
Beauty and the Geek. Please do tell us everything about it from, what
severe
is it, first
flashbacks.
Of all.
Yeah. Beauty and the Geek is a reality dating show that aired last September, maybe even a year ago... from when this is going out, potentially.
Right.
It sees two groups of people, I guess, the beauties and the geeks, come together and face challenges and defy the odds, and maybe there's a spark of romance. Who knows?
Do you not think that's a bit derogatory?
Well.
Beauty and the Geek.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Here we go. So when they approached me to do the show, I was like, nah, not a chance.
Yeah.
Not a chance in hell am I doing that. Because I had impressions of the show that was like, this is going to be the most kind of take the mick, derogatory thing, stereotypical thing ever. And the old seasons of Beauty and the Geek were that, from like 2005, 2006, whatever. It is awful. But they remade it in Australia 2 years ago now, and it did very well. And the way that they sold me on it was just watch the Australian show, see what you think. So I watched it. I really liked it.
Right.
And I was like, it films over Easter break. So I'm around. when am I going to do this again? Right, I'll do it.
Right.
And yeah, no, there were certain bits where they were trying to kind of make us fulfill the stereotype, you know, the geeky stereotype, the social ineptitude, the inability to speak to women type thing. And though that narrative was sometimes natural, it did feel like pushed upon us and forced
and
upon
us. That's something that they definitely shouldn't be pushing, because, you know, at the end, it doesn't quite sit right with me, I think, the show. And I've seen bits of it. I didn't watch every episode, but I've seen bits of it. I've seen clips of you on it from your socials and stuff like that. I just feel like they're kind of fighting an uphill battle with it, really.
Yeah, there's a reason there's not a second season.
Right.
And I think the majority didn't really kind of get why it was a thing. Why is this, you know, coming out now? It just wasn't a show that should really exist in this time. I am kind of proud of our show in some ways, because I feel like for the most part, everybody on that did remain true to themselves. And you see when you watch it in the first couple of episodes, I am doing stuff that I would not usually do. I rap to a girl on a first date.
I've seen
that. I would not do that.
Did they ask you to do it? Or did you just think?
They were like, oh, so the producers knew that I was interested in like 80s and 90s kind of hip hop R and new Jack Swing music.
Yeah.
And when they came to do my VT at my house, you know, like Henry from Thirsk.
Yeah.
I showed them my vinyl collection. They were like, oh, do you know any of it? I was like, yeah. So on this date, they tell Julie, my ex, to be like, oh, ask him about his hobbies. Ask him about his hobbies. So I'm like, yeah, no, I like this kind of music. And then they go, oh, say you rap. I'm like, right, I rap. But then in the show, they cut out the bit where Julie is saying, Henry, oh, why don't you do me a bit, do this song. So it just looks like I go, yeah, I like rapping. And then I break into this filthy rap from the 90s.
It is good. I mean, you killed it, man.
Like... Well, yeah, but it's a rap by Heavy D and the Boys about how he's like trying to sleep with, you know, loads of women. And singing it to this lassie on the first date, and I was like, what the hell am I doing? What have I been possessed by to do this?
Oh my gosh.
It was, but by kind of the last few episodes, I kind of understood what I could say no to. And because it's a reality TV space and I have no idea what I'm doing there, I kind of understood that I can be myself and I can kind of control what they get me and the others to do. But yeah, I mean, it was a unique experience filming it. Something I'll never do again. And I definitely wouldn't do it now. I was a completely different person last April. I really wasn't in a good place. And it was a kind of a good thing me to just throw myself into.
Right. Okay.
So
would you consider doing any other kind of TV though?
I mean, my dream would be to go into kind of like the more TV presenting thing.
Right.
Like I see... you know, these late night late night show hosts.
Graham Norton type
Graham stuff. I love Graham Norton. I would Jonathan Ross is
picked up an NCA, didn't he, Graham Norton?
Yeah.
First one in a while to normally win.
I really like Graham Norton and I would love to do what he does. But I wouldn't do a reality dating thing again. I did that once and, you know, I guess Beauty and the Geek worked for me for a few months. Like I met my ex on there and it was great, and I've got a few good, really really good friends out of it,
right?
But aside from that, I think the mental toll it can have is a lot more than kind of the any gain.
I mean it's good that you do try and see the positive of it though. I think there is a clear positive as well as the negative that you talk about.
Absolutely. And the clear positive is the people I've got, like two, one of them's basically my brother at this point,
right?
And the other one, you know, he's a 36-year-old Pokemon master and he's basically like my son. I love them dearly and I wouldn't have it without the show, so I can't resent it too much.
You speak about wanting to be a TV presenter in the future. I can definitely see you doing that. I don't know why. I could really see you on like CBeebies or CBBC or something like
that. I'll take that. I could see myself doing a CBBC. You stick me in a room with Hacker the Dog.
Oh, mate, I could absolutely see that.
I would. There's two people I want to meet in my life. Kermit the Frog and Hacker the Dog.
You could work that into a rap.
Absolutely. Geek Rap 4, that'll be a line.
Kermit the Frog, Hacker the... Mate, that... If you do that, I want credit. Okay. You got a shout out while I'm on radio. Now, I want to move on a little bit now. I want to talk about masculinity. So we've chatted geeky stuff, musicals, yeah. TikTok, all things Henry Calvert. But it would be fair to say that some of these interests that you're so passionate about and kind of public about, there aren't necessarily, I really feel hesitant saying this, aren't necessarily the norm for young lads.
Yeah.
And not that they shouldn't be, of course, but... I mean, have you always been this open about these interests and not necessarily fitting in with, you know, the kind of traditional route that young lads might go down?
Yeah, I think for me, I was always kind of, I was the only bloke at my school, at my primary school, who sung.
Me too.
Or acted, whatever. So, and I was not a sporty kid at all, at all. And I was like, you know, all right academically. So like when you... I remember distinctly doing Wind in the Willows in year five, and I was Toad, right? So I was this is my first lead role, and I was like, wow. I stood out on stage, and I made a load of people laugh, and I was like, I am hooked on this. This is my thing. And yeah, I was like the only boy in kind of my school, my year, whatever, who did it. But for me, it was that sense of ownership. Right, yeah, no, this is my thing. And everybody else is doing wonders on the sports field, but you know what, screw them. And screw kind of what's expected of me to kind of go out there and play rugby in the blistering cold. I'm going to kind of Skype games to go and have a singing lesson.
I've been there, man.
Yeah. And yeah, no, I think I was lucky. I had a really good friend group at school who, you know, weren't really that sporty, but not really that musical either. They were just kind of like the geeky group, like me. And that they were really supportive, and my parents were really supportive because they like saw me be happy doing it, and they were, you know, I was overjoyed to be on stage, and they were like, right, well, if he's happy doing it, then we're happy. And I think I've always kind of been this from a young age, maybe not as vocal about it, but no, definitely in school I was beating the performing arts drum.
Yeah, no, I mean, absolutely, and you've garnered kind of a group for that now as well. You run a glee club, do you? We certainly have.
Yeah, no. So
I'd love to hear a bit more about that.
Oh, I could talk about glee for ages. Yeah. So in sixth form at Bootham, the sixth formers are allowed to kind of set up and run clubs.
Yeah.
And I always hated in school. Right, the only group singing that you can do is stereotypical choral choir.
Yeah.
Nonsense. And which child is going, you know what I want to sing on a Tuesday afternoon? It's a bit of Bach or a bit of whatever. No one wants to sing this choral stuff. I mean, sure, right, some people might. But for the majority, it's not what the kids want to do. So I was like, right, I'm going to set up a glee club and we're going to sing pop songs, we're going to sing musical songs, and we're going to sing the stuff that you want to sing. And I let the kids decide what they wanted to sing. And it was absolutely phenomenal. Like, I love that club because I remember from kind of the first session, I had like five kids in it, and like three of them didn't even really speak to me. One of them didn't want to sing it. I couldn't make her sing for like a month. And then by the end of the year, we were on stage in front of the whole school singing like loads of Christmas songs at the Christmas concert. And like that sense of pride that I had, it's never been topped. Yeah, I ran that in upper sixth, and then when I went back to Bootham, I ran glee again, and I did Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, and then I did We Will Rock You at a Different School as well.
Cool. With your glee club as well, did you get much interest from young lads as well as girls? What was the kind of gender mix like?
It was all right. I think Bootham in York especially is brilliant for their performing arts stuff. They're really supportive of it. And look, because I'd been at the school as well, I kind of knew who would sign up.
Right.
But what I did notice is there's a distinct difference between kind of young lads in musical theatre from kind of like year 7, 8, and then they'll all drop out for the most part from years 9 to maybe like 11. And then in sixth form, they'll kind of gain some of it back. And I think there's kind of a... That is definitely a chart that you see. You see kind of like the young kids kind of like, oh, yeah, no, I'm really interested in performing. I'd love to do the show. Wow, yeah, this is great. And then they get to maybe like year nine or so and they're like, oh, right, okay, yeah, no, maybe that's a bit lame. Maybe that's a bit lame.
Yeah, yeah.
But then they'll find it again, be like, in sixth form, what actually did really make me happy? Oh yeah, no, doing the stage stuff. It's given me a friend group. It's given me kind of stuff to do on my evening. I'm not just sat around twiddling my thumbs. It's like they find that again when they get to like 17, 18.
Why do you think that is that so many young lads find... I do think it, certainly with my experience, I think it was more focused on guys than girls or non-binary or whatever it might be. I really do think that guys have this real sense of embarrassment about performing in theatre and singing and stuff like that. And I've had it as well. I mean, I'm a singer. I've done lots of musical theatre. But between the ages of, like, I don't know, like 13 and 16, 17, you just don't want to do it. Why do you think that is?
I think there's definitely this notion of what lads should be doing for their hobbies. And that is kind of like the sport and the it's almost like this sense of caring. You're almost embarrassed to kind of care about anything because it's like, oh, that's a bit lame. Why do you care about that? Like, let's just go out drinking or cause a bit of havoc in town.
Yeah.
I'm not too sure. I mean, I'm fortunate. I was always kind of quite proud of like what I was doing.
Yeah.
But speaking to kind of people in the glee club or whatever, I think although it's kind of died down a lot in recent years, there is still this sense of musical theatre is for girls, and why are you singing and dancing? Singing and dancing is for girls. Why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? And especially in kind of those formative years of 13 to 17, you don't want to get that grief because you've got so much other stuff going on. You've got your GCSEs, you've got kind of all this social pressure. You might have moved schools. Why would you bother with worrying about, you know, if you're in a show or not when there's all this other extra societal social pressure? Yeah.
What are you like as a dancer? You mentioned dancing.
What am I like as a dancer? I did street dance for like 6 years.
Right.
I did tap for a year and I did contemporary for a year. And all I can say is that I have rhythm now. I have rhythm and that's all I have to show for it.
Right.
But you know, if I did a Vita at the Theatre Royal in 22, and that was a pretty dance heavy show and I absolutely adored it because I haven't danced in ages, but like getting up in the Theatre Royal, which I've been going to for years, and like I'm on the Theatre Royal stage and I'm dancing with my friends, I think there is something so special about dancing with, well, just dancing in general.
Dancing's I think specifically dancing, obviously we're talking about musical theatre, acting, singing, dancing. I think dancing, and we'll come back to the masculinity side of things. I think dancing's probably the one that lads might be most hesitant to do. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Because it's the most kind of you don't do it in schools really that much, I don't think. You know, everyone's exposed to actors and singers because you have music and drama lessons in schools. Whereas dancing is something that you do kind of outside of it, and it's not something that's really in everyone's kind of perception of what people just do. And it is also very, what's the word I'm looking for? It's very kind of like out there. You know, you can't just kind of dance subtly.
Yeah.
You
got to give it all. It's all or nothing, isn't it?
Yeah. You can't just, with singing, you can sing in your car. With acting, you can kind of act in an acting kind of class. I mean, we're all acting every single day.
Yeah, it's more natural. Isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah. Whereas dancing is something that you have to step outside of the norm. And kind of put yourself out there for literally everyone to see. So I guess that's probably why there's a little bit more hesitation when it comes to dancing.
Yeah. What would you say as well? We'll finish off soon. But what would you say to any young people out there who are struggling to express themselves? I mean, you've made a name for yourself really from being so good at expressing yourself and so proud of what you do. And I think that is really inspiring. What would you say to people who are wanting to do this kind of thing, getting into musical theatre, express their kind of geekier interests or stuff like that? What would you say to them to try and help them along with that?
Well, I think the main thing for me is like everyone is a geek of something. And if they aren't a geek of something, they are probably the most boring person in the room. Whether that, you know, they might love makeup, they might be massive football geeks. And they are, even though they don't share the same interests, they have the same kind of passion. They have the same, almost the same kind of underlying morals, passions, whatever, as you. It's just centered in a different way. So I think being aware of that is so important, because it's just like, oh yeah, we are all in the same boat. We all love different things. All right, that's fine. I'm going to crack on and sing a Andrew Lloyd Webber song. And it's just to give it a go. There's so much hesitation in kind of the musical theatre or the online space. You know, if you want to make a video, if you feel passionately enough about comic books or Lego or whatever, and you're thinking, oh, I'd love to make a video about this, but I don't know how. Well, just pick up your phone and record it and stick it up there, because everything is at our fingertips at this time. Like, The world really kind of is your oyster at this point. In the technological sense, you can access everything. If you want to sing, if you want to dance, if you want to act, you can find it online, and you can do it kind of in your room for starters. You can kind of practice in your room on your own. You don't have to start off with a massive full school show. And there's just take kind of baby steps into it, and kind of see how it feels and if it is really something that you feel passionately about and that it's something that you want to do. I think if there's anything that I hope my content can do, it's that it can inspire and kind of make people feel more comfortable about their geekiness.